prayer, but something to contemplate. Our own hearts, why you came today. What's it all about for you? Something to think about. I mean, it's great gathering together. Looking forward to the fellowship is a good thing. Being in fellowship is a very good thing. It's all a part of what God wants to do in our lives. But by coming out on a Saturday morning, it's a time well spent when we spend it with the Lord. He wants us to grow, and I'm hoping that's why you do come. You know, it's a time of growth in His Word. And I'll be sharing this morning. It'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks to your heart, teaches your heart. I'm just the vessel that He's chosen today. And I was so excited about this. I really was weeks ago. The opportunity to share again. And I was just excited because I knew where the Lord was taking me with it. It's one of my favorite books. It's a very short book. It's not the shortest. I think it's like the fourth shortest book in the Word. But it's about contending for our faith, for the faith, for the Word of God, standing on the truth of His Word. And we live in days that are so challenging of it and are just wanting to wash it away. And we are God's children, and that's what He would have us to do, contend for the faith. And Jude certainly doesn't hold no punches. He just comes right out with it and says it as it is. And Jude shared, it's possible to the Christians in Asia or directly to the Jews who were in Palestine. It's, commentators kind of go both ways with that. But what I say is, he's sharing it with you today because it's for today. I think if you're in the Word, no matter where you are in the Word, it's got to be speaking to your heart just on the things that are going on in the world today. 2 Peter is like it as well. They're both pointing to us to stand against the apostates, which are those who don't have Jesus, really, because they wouldn't be able to do what they do. They have no fear of God. They have no reverence of God. They turn their backs on faith. It's all about heresy for them. Deception, destruction, to deteriorate the integrity of God's Word. And do you think that's happening today? It sure is. So that's what we stand against. That's what Jude would remind us of. Starts out in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And Father, what an awesome statement, Lord, that it's not just added to us, Lord, it's multiplied. And we're preserved in Jesus' name eternally, Lord. I pray, Lord, we could all take hold of that this morning, Lord. The promises of your word, that through the preservation, Lord, the power of Jesus' name, Lord, you have equipped us certainly with all that we need, Lord. The blessing of your Holy Spirit, walking in the power of your name. Lord, we should just have Jesus written on our foreheads, on our chest. Lord, just the whole armor of God, really. Gospel of peace. We could just walk in the power of your name, Lord, because there is no fear, Lord, because we're covered in your perfect love. The fear that we have should be our reverence of who you are, our adoration of who you are. Lord, do we trust you or don't we? I pray, Lord, that we would be changed men this morning. Lord, you've certainly spoken to my heart. Lord, just, yes, I was very excited, Lord, but the more I endeavored and dug in, Lord, to your word and the things of the time frame, Lord. Lord, you really spoke to my heart how far I really am, Lord, from contending for the faith. Lord, I want to do better. I pray that these men would hear and be touched in their heart by your spirit, Lord, and hear something that would just inspire them, Lord. Lord, just to just walk that much more boldly for your name's sake, Lord. For your glory, Lord. Because you know, Lord, you've created us and you desire all men to come to you, Lord. You've spoken to our hearts. You've touched our hearts. Not just while we're in this place and we can hug and certainly we want to be able to encourage and pray and lift each other up, Lord. But Lord, when we're out there, Lord, we need to have that same adoration that we show here. That nothing would stumble us, Lord. We thank you. And we open up your word now, Lord. Please bless it and keep it to our hearts. Help me, Lord, just to speak your truth. Help none of us, Lord, to fall away. Lord, engraven on your hand, we don't want to misrepresent you, Lord. We trust in what your word promises and says. In Jesus' name, amen. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. I wrote down a couple of scriptures. I didn't write them. I actually typed them out. In Matthew 13:55, he's being questioned. Is this that? The carpenter's son, is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And we see here it says Judas, but in the New English translations, they translate it to Jude for obvious reasons. And this is one of the things I found very cool in going through and studying about Jude. Because Jude and James being the oldest, you know, and you see it written out, and this follows the pattern. James would be the oldest. Judas is listed last, so he's obviously the youngest. But neither one of them really believed Jesus who he was till after the resurrection. And they came to be followers and professors of the faith, sharing the gospel. And took their families out. And what I found interesting was sort of a little bit of a side thing, but Jude had grandchildren, and which put them as part of the half-brothers, of Jesus Christ, certainly relatives of Jesus in the line. And they believed. And I'm just thinking about how that must have been passed along through the generations, you know, and the Jude contending for the faith. It ran down his family line. These two kids, they had to go before Domitian, who sort of followed after Nero. And, you know, Nero was a tyrant against Christians. So they were going before Domitian, and he wondered where they were and where they stood. And they basically shared about the kingdom's coming, and there's going to be judgment, and Jesus is going to rule. And he thought that they were nuts. He called them simpletons. And more or less let them go. You know, thinking that they were just silly, didn't believe it. And it also opened the door for some of the persecution to stop for a little while. I just thought that was kind of an awesome thing. They just spoke the truth, and God delivered them from his hands. Now, that was out of a history book of Eusebius, which Ecclesiasticus, kind of call him, he's been labeled the father of church history, Eusebius. And he actually took that from a guy named Hegesippus or something. I tried to look up the pronunciation, and it's just tough. And all his stuff's been wiped out, more or less. So he was quoting from earlier writings. And a lot of different stuff from that has been quoted. But I found it interesting, just for the fact of how, you know, there was a parallel of what we're teaching today. You know, how we're to take that stand for our families, whether they're saved or not. That's why we take the stand, hoping that they're going to come to the truth. We all know what sanctified means. We're set apart for Him. And we're preserved in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' prayer for us, John 17, I think it's John 17, 11, says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world," speaking of us, "and come to thee. Holy Father, keep thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." So we're preserved in Jesus' name. A lot of what I was just praying about, I was meaning to emphasize that. I like it when we sing that song, you know, Jesus, both Jesus songs. And it's the power of His name that delivers us from anything. It's just, it's the power of His name. Just, that's all we need. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. And that just overflowed me. You know, when you think about multiplication, you know, and you look at numbers and, you know, you can add numbers and they add up to an infinite number, and when you multiply them, on just how you think about space and the universe and multiplication, when you start going to that and it gets into the physics and stuff, and it's just like, wow. So I kind of took that on as kind of what this means. It's just, it's so much mercy and peace and love. We really shouldn't probably struggle about anything. You know, He's given us so much peace. But we choose to because of our fleshly flesh. But I mean, we're even delivered out of that. We can rest in Him. The closer we get to the Lord, I believe that there has been those that, you know, you can just see the way they walk. They really do have the peace of God. And I like this, how Jude goes, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And it certainly has been delivered unto us. And Jude is telling us to contend for the faith earnestly. That's like everything it is you, you know, fight for the faith, contend. Now, contend can be used in the sports lot, but when I think of contenders, I go to boxing. Because that's where I remember hearing the word so much, is with the contenders, you know. And they're in there for the battle to win. You know, they want to be on top. They're contending. They're the contenders. And what do they do to prepare for that? They go through rigorous training. You know, I think any sport, you know, the Olympians, they go through rigorous training. I know some of the European ones and Russian stuff, they just about kill themselves, I think, you know, trying to be the best. And because they're threatened to be the best, I believe, you know. And what we need to understand is we need to be contending that way. Study your word to know it, you know. That's part of the earnest, you know. If you were going to be a runner, if you were going to be a boxer, bowler, baseball, you know, what do? You practice. You practice, practice, practice. The ones that practice the most, sometimes they end up being the best. You know, some of them have natural skills, so the practice just makes them that all much better. And we should want to be the best for the Lord. You know, we're not necessarily in competition with one another. But what we are is we're contenders together. You know, we're in the same battle. We're on the same team. You know? And you want to be a winner? Contend for the faith. You know, We're winners in Christ. He's already won. He would ask us, contend for the faith. There's something going on in the world that's been going on ever since then. I mentioned about 2 Peter earlier. When I look at 2 Peter, it looks like apostates had already entered, but it's a challenging work that Peter knew they were coming. And I think it's because they had started to enter in to some degree. When Jude wrote his book, they had already entered it. And they infiltrate without even knowing. And I'll read a little bit more here. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. You're going to see that term ungodly used a fair amount here. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. And we'll read it when I find it. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There's a lot of crazy teachings out there, whether they be online or you know of these different churches and so forth that are out there, these different men that have started their own cults. Preaching another gospel. This is who Jude is telling us to stand against. There's no place for them in the church. There's no place for them in our church. We need to be careful they don't enter into our church here. When it says they've crept in unawares, there's an interesting parallel. Think about the Lord's Supper, when the 12 are there, and Jesus is sharing with them. And he says, one of you will betray me. Did they all point to Judas? No. They said, is it I, Lord? And when I seen this, I kind of went to my own heart, is it I, Lord? You know, because it's a scary thing. I mean, they loved Jesus. They knew Jesus loved them. But as soon as he said that, one of you will betray me, they knew their hearts, you know, to some degree. I mean, God knows them perfectly. But is it I, Lord? And even when he went through and had Judas take the brothers, let me, you know, go and do what you're going to do, they still didn't know it was him. Well, Judas walked with them. You know, he was one of the 12. So I bring this out because to me the parallel is pretty strong. They crept in unawares. Well, they can talk the talk, walk the walk. You know, but in their own way, and as they start to be accepted maybe, they start to stir up strife. In contention, because of their own, they want it their way. They want the glory. They're really not saved. It's all about me. Jude goes on in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them, that believed. Now, these section of verses are partly why they believe it was written to the Jews in Palestine, because it's their history. But it's actually our history too now. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Are we there yet? I tell you, you don't have to look too far. You really don't have to look too far to see this stuff. 2 Peter talks about it. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. He says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with an overthrow, making them an example and sample unto those that after should live ungodly." I think that we're so aware of these things. We're in the Word. You know, we come to church and we go line by line and we learn of these things. You know, the world, they may have a movie or two, and they maybe just look at it like that. You know, it's Hollywood. But for us, we know it's truth, and it's going to happen again. Judgment is coming. You know? And we need to take a stand and not think that it's anything to do with us. We just have to be that vessel unto his honor. God will do the work to open their hearts to understand, you know. And they may not respond to us, not in a good way. But we have to do it. We can't fear what the world can do, because what can they do? They try to hurt us. Yeah, it hurts in this world, but you know, the sooner we go home, we're in glory, face to face, just like the song said. We're looking forward to that day. You know, I probably wouldn't be one either of a masochist. It's like, yeah, bring on the pain, you know. But I just, I'm trusting in God's grace that he will give you the grace, whatever's necessary. As you are called and feel anointed of his Spirit, you just know you're walking in the power of his name, and you just share, you know. Yeah. Talking to me, you know. And like I said earlier, you know, anything that Spirit touches your heart with, praise God for that. Because, you know, I fail at a lot of this stuff myself. You know, I mean, Lord has used me, and I'll speak truth at times, and other times I'm quiet. You know, and I can't always say that the Spirit kept me quiet. Maybe it's just, I don't know that it's always fear, but maybe it is fear. But a good example of that is the funeral I just went to in a Catholic church. And when I have a prayer life, go to one of those, because you're just praying for everybody when you go in there. It's just, you see so much idolism and so forth. I struggled, you know, look forward, because way up above in the back there was stained glass of Mary. But it was black. It was so dark, very little color to it, and it was very dark. And that kind of just gave me an eerie, creepy feeling, you know. Because in a sense, that's what that stands for. That's darkness, to think Mary's going to do anything for you, you know. And then they had Jesus on the crucifix, you know, cross right below, you know, her above Jesus. And we know that the Lord stands above all. So it's just backwards, you know. And some of the prayers and scriptures, there were two boys, two of his sons that shared scripture. one out of Isaiah, which was really cool. And the other one, I think he might have shared out of 2 Peter. But the first one, Isaiah, he just got really broken up as he was reading it. And I was like, oh, finish the scripture. But, we were praying. We were all praying in the role we were in. And, even the priest, was shared some good stuff. But it just, you just hope that people hear the right things, that it would move them. Because the good things were said. I have to say, good things were said. But he got to a point in the service where, he was mentioning about more or less where Jesus prays for us in John 17. But he included this, who they call the saints, those who have died and gone before us, that they're all intercessing for us, And he brought that to the works we need to be doing, And the work continues on after you die. You're still praying for everybody here, And the works, And the Lord put on my heart, a couple things to possibly share with him, but I never did. The opportunity to not necessarily be one-on-one almost came about. We went to the cemetery afterwards. When you go to the cemetery, those people just have no problems. They're all dead. You didn't get it, did you? I'm only kidding. I was kidding. No. Anyway, we all have problems. Maybe some have problems, serious problems after they die. But after he did the little ceremony there, he was cremated, so they have the inurnment and right next to his wife, who had died a year and a half ago, Carol, Joyce's sister. He didn't go around to everybody and shake their hands, but he came specifically to Joyce and I and Gloria to shake our hands. Said, thanks for coming, God bless you and stuff. And I don't know if he just wanted to bless us because we didn't go forward during the communion thing, because he said, if you don't want to take communion, still come up and just go like this and I'll bless you, I'm already blessed. No. No. But, they mean well and what they've been taught, but, our hearts just struggled there, and we were there to support the family. And later we all got together, and sadly, I didn't really share much that day either. Then I was able to, stand that, no, I don't drink anymore. Have a beer? No, don't drink anymore. I probably could have really gone off on that, but I didn't. I guess I didn't want to create contention and stuff on that particular day. Save it for another day, maybe. Of course, they may not have another day. So all those things kind of, because I've been studying this, And so here I had probably opportunity to contend for the faith, right? Pray to Jesus, help me do better. Help us all to do better. So verse 8 continues on, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Very good lesson for us. And when we are contending for the faith, the enemy will certainly come against us. We have to remember that Jesus rebukes that. Jesus stands in the gap for us. We have the power of his name, power of who Jesus is. He's already defeated the enemy. So really he has nothing that he can really do. He'll try to throw stuff at us, try to stumble us with our weaknesses and stuff. We always need to run to the Lord, Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. And that's what I shared earlier about the apostates. They're deceptive and destructive. They deteriorate the integrity of God's words. They have no reverence of God, that they can be like that. And Jude says, woe unto them, verse 11. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainslaying of Korah. With Cain, we see it was his own religion. You know, why I couldn't accept his offering, as beautiful as it may have been. It was his own, in his own strength, more or less, his own idea. So Cain stands for these religions that are in the world that are doing nothing but really pulling people away from the Lord. You know, they may seemingly speak about Jesus stuff. We know that there are those groups that only consider him to be a carpenter and a prophet, maybe. But we know him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings overall. And Balaam. Balaam was in it for the reward. Well, there's those that get into the ministry for the reward. You know, the pat on the back, the congratulations, the money. You know, it's all sort of a another stairs, so to speak. You know, they got the your own religion, then doing it for reward. And then perished in the gainsay of Korah. And what was he all about? Well, he was all about all of the above, you know. And if you want to turn to me, you can. I was thinking of reading through that whole chapter 16 of Genesis. I only had printed out the first verse, but I just thought it'd be good to look at it for memory's sake. And just to see. Genesis 6. What was it? What do I have there? Numbers 16, excuse me. I think I got it right now. Korah's rebellion. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, and the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and An. It was really the only mention of An. And he was having an off day. I just want to use the example for a second. I've had off days where I haven't been on. But I look at this because he's not mentioned much, but he is mentioned. And he is a part of the judgment because he was with them. I don't know so much now, but maybe when we were younger. I know for me, I've been more of a follower than a leader. And I was very easily got wrapped up in gangs and things of such nature, and whether it was on my own or with these other people and stuff. And you kind of followed along with what they were doing. There was always somebody, the alpha, you know, of a gang. And you just were led to do things that were wrong. You participated in things that were wrong. Be cool, so to speak, I suppose. And I can't help but think this is An's position here in a sense. You know, he just was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So enough about that, I suppose. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And it's a question. And when Moses heard, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. I like that. This do, take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, and thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all the company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up and out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. So they kind of seem to follow that definition of apostates, where they're just causing dissension and questioning, and they're just not believing, you know, the Lord's hand in it, you know, and they're thinking of Moses as just doing it kind of, you know, and they're trying to undermine him, you know, make him look he's wrong. Anyway, moreover, thou hast not brought us up out of the land of the flow of milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou all the company before the Lord, thou, and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron each of you his censer. And they took every man a censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Good point there. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have done them of mine own mind. Or I have not, excuse me. Did I say that right? I have not done them of my own mind. Say that. If these men die, the common death of all men, if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord makes a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking of all these words, that the ground cleaved asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. That's pretty intense. That swallowed them up alive. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, especially the last several years, the ground's been opening up here and there, and I know there's a problem in Florida. There's a certain area where there's a sinkhole that seems to continue to open up. And it always makes me think of that for some reason. And I guess there was even a man who was asleep at the time that got swallowed up, you know. It's like, you know, wouldn't want to cast any judgment. But it makes you think, though, you know. Scary thought to me. There's a lot of scary things, I suppose, about different kinds of death and so forth. Some of them, you know, quicker than a wink of an eye, but other ones, not so much. I think about falling in the pit, you know, and you think about the pit of hell, you know, and just maybe eternally falling, you know, just eternally. It's a strange thought. Total darkness. Black as black can be. Anyway, there's good sort of example of apostates there, I believe, you know, in that time frame. So we read on, verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves with fear. And this is, I shared this earlier about the Lord's Supper and the deception there, in a sense of, you know, they not realizing, they were asking themselves, you know, is it I? King James uses the word spots. I think it's American Standard or something. It uses rocks. And the idea of spots or rocks or something dangerous. You know, if they're, you know, you're sailing in the waters, you need to avoid the rocks are dangerous. You know, same kind of an idea. Spots, blemish, you know, I kind of was thinking about, you know, when they're looking for, you know, the perfect calf or something, you know, without spot or blemish. So the things that just mar, you know, it's a picture of what he's trying to say, you know, of these things. And the Feast of Charities, when they feast with you, feeding themselves, you know, we like to have the fellowship dinners and so forth. And I would hope that everybody's coming in here, you know, is born again. But at the same time, you know, there are those that aren't saved because we want them to come in too, you know. It's the in-between kind of people that maybe come in and they have an agenda of their own, you know. We just need to be careful of that, you know. And those that are appointed in leadership, they particularly should be sensitive to those things, always praying for discernment of the Spirit. But, you know, just you guys in general. I mean, you come out today, you guys are, in a sense, a part of the leadership of the church because you're looking for more. You know, you're looking for more Jesus. You want to stand for what's right, for truth, and in a sense have a natural protection over the community here. You know, just like the community has its servants, you know, for protection and for servanthood and so forth. In a sense, that's us, you know. And I don't know if we always think about it like that, but there's a truth in it, you know. I mean, that's part of the contending for the faith and the truth of the word is protecting the flock, you know. And, certainly our pastor is concerned for his flock. And we want to support him in that. Clouds that are without water. So it's like they make promises that they can't come through with, you know. Written in this time frame, the farmers and everything, they all look for the storms coming for water for their crops, you know. And they could, you know, kind of tell the ones that aren't, you know, going to have the water in them, you know. But, and I guess that's what we look for too, you know. And if they follow through with what they say, you know, and they're without water and they blow about everyone, they travel from church to church, you know, sharing their wares, so to speak, maybe. Trees whose fruit wither without fruit and twice dead plucked up by the roots. In Psalm 1 is a good one for that. But you want to be planted by the waters, be solidly rooted. Where do we get rooted? In the Word of God. These people, these apostates, they're not rooted, you know, and some of them show themselves real quick, and other ones, they're pretty deceptive, you know, as we see, you know, that it's written that way. Raging waves of the sea, verse 13, foaming out of their own shame. Isaiah 57, 20, I think I got that one written out. I'll read it to you. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And I'm sure you've seen the lake like that. You know, when it gets all stirred up, you can see it getting all muddy and everything. Another example of who they are. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's the verse I was thinking of when I was talking about the pit and falling forever in darkness. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. You look at this in his verses, like four times he's ungodly. He wants to get the message out that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Get the message. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. All part of that definition of apostate, really. You know, they're just out for themselves. They're out for the gain of themselves. Some of them are even want to just tear you down. It's almost like, you know, it's that kind of thing, you know, I'm hurt, you're going to hurt. You know, I'm lost, you're going to be lost. You know, I mean, it almost seems like that, you know. And, they need to have that stony heart changed to heart of flesh. It's so great when that happens. Okay, my favorite verse coming up. But beloved, again, beloved, that's you guys. Remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, again, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's one of my all-time favorite verses. I just love it. And I just, you know, it's where I need to be. I need to be keeping myself in the love of God. And the flesh battles against that with me every day. Every day. Want to be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I mean, that's the promise. The promise that should just keep us in that place, walking in his love. You know, keeping yourself there. The verse, praying in the Holy Spirit. We know that the Spirit make intercession for us through grumblings. And when we don't know what to pray for. I think even when I know what to pray for, I can struggle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 8 to 13, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face, there it is, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So we pray for one another. For we know that we lack in our faith. We pray for others. Make intercession for them. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct a way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, we do one to another. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That's going to be us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And have, and some have, compassion making a difference. We can make a difference. The Lord's had compassion on us. As he's forgiven us, we need to have forgiving hearts, all the more so. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And that's where we have the confrontation sometimes with our own heart, sharing with somebody else who is in confrontation with us about it. And let me tell you this, if you have somebody, maybe it's a family member, friend, or work associate or something, and there is a confrontation, And there's almost like a bitterness. They're willing to contend with you. You can know in an instant, and you can tell them the Holy Spirit's working in their heart right now. Because that's why they're struggling. The Spirit is speaking truth to their heart, and they're fighting it. If they're just like lying, I worry more about them. But somebody who really resists, they're close. But close doesn't get you in. You know, they're that close to being broken. You know, so continue to pray for them. You know, when you contend with them, stand fast. Have a compassionate heart. Have mercy towards their spot and blemish. You know, the forgiveness that God has for them. You know, remember everything God's done for you and just let that flow to them. Not always easy, I know. There are certain things that can just push a button. Sometimes people like to do that with me, push a button, and it's not like we're contending about anything. They just want to mess the Christian up because you're a Christian. You know, let's push his buttons today. Oh. God help me, and he has. Boy, from when I first was in the business, I always tell us partly how I share with them. I says, this business, you know, it's like a one-on-one with your machines, teaches the attributes of God. You know, his perseverance, his long-suffering, his patience, you know, not to be angry, you know. And I'd have to say the Lord has definitely used those with me in the business I'm in, you know. So am I ready to retire? I know I need more, Lord. Need more of you. Now unto him, our final verses here, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, there you go, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, that's our Jesus, because of him, we can stand before Father God. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Father, I just pray, Lord, your Spirit continues to speak in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I love this book. You have put it before Revelation, Lord, of the last things that are going to be happening. It's a perfect timing for this book. Just ahead of Revelation here in the sense of that preparation. We need to get out, need to get the word out, need to stand for the word, need to stand for your truth. Everything that you are, Lord, your glory, your majesty, your dominion and power, Lord, over all things, Lord, over our hearts, we ask you to stand with that dominion and power, Lord, that we could really find our rest and our peace, which has been multiplied unto us, Lord. Help us to receive it, Lord. Help us to believe it, Lord. It's a lot to do with belief, Lord, that it'll increase the faith. And certainly, Lord, we'd like to be able to say nothing stands in our way. Nothing. For you, Lord, nothing stands in our way. And I pray you, Lord, strengthen us in everything that your word is, Lord, everything that you are. Lord, bless these guys today. Bless them for coming out today, Lord. Lord, just things that are going on in their lives, Lord, questions that they have, Lord, finances, Lord, relationships, Lord, anything, Lord, that the enemy may be using to hinder, stumble, Lord. Pray, Lord, for your grace to abound. Lord, to bring understanding and wisdom, Lord, for decisions, Lord. Lord, bless them, Lord, and keep them. Bless their families, bless their wives, bless their children, grandchildren, Lord. Pray for those to come to know you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that everything they see within their saved family members, Lord, that it would open their eyes, Lord, to just how much you love them, Lord, and desire that love. Lord, bring them into the family, Lord. We thank you for these things. Pray for traveling mercies now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.